Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's time for the most average podcast ever. It's Zach.
From this moment forward, people's champion, the Shelby sensation, the reverse Apache master, the man with the golden egg, Dr. Cock and Balls.
And the nose.
That Kenny Powers is now dead. And he will never pick up a baseball ever fucking again.
All right, week two of the NFL season. Meet Zach and the Nose podcast is back. Fantasy football is back. Football is back in general, and I'm happier now. My wife, not so happy because I spend all week long talking about football and watching it, but I don't care right now because it's podcast time. Zach in the Nose, volume 33. I'll let you start off. This is Spencer the Nose, at Spencer Nose, N-O-S-E, on Twitter. We usually give out an athlete that wore a jersey number. I know where you're going here. I don't even want to ask, but I'm going to let you do it. Volume 33 means what to you?
Born on December 7th, 1956 in French Lick, Indiana. We are talking about the best and most beautiful man of all time. Three-time NBA champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP, 12-time NBA All-Star, and the best shooter and natural ball player ever to be born. My idol, what you are to Dan Marino, is to what I am to my man, Larry Bird. Love you, Larry.
I figured you were going there, so of course you know where I'm going with 33. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Of course. Why don't you go Laker style on me?
No, I'm not going Laker style on you. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the running back from the Miami Dolphins. That's right. He wore number 33 down here, and that's what I'm countering with. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar versus Larry Bird, except it's not that. It's not Lew Alcindor. I don't believe he was ever named Lew Alcindor, this Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So that's where we're going. Volume 33 of the podcast. Of course, week one is now over with. We have some good things from week one. What did we learn from week one? No overreactions from week one, because that's what happens. Waiver wire hits after week one, unless you literally, this is the year, 2008, I believe it was, where Brady got hit on the first play of the game and he was done and he was probably your starter for your team and you didn't know what to do at that point. That's worthy of an overreaction.
That's when you freak out.
Nothing this week was that big of a deal. There were some injuries, but yes. We'll get into that. But Nose, what did we learn in week one? What are some takeaways from week one? We'll recap week one before we usually start off with your last Nose pick of the week. We're going to get into that later on in the podcast when we give the Nose pick of the week for week two as well. But give me some non-overreacting takeaways and what we learned from week one of the NFL season.
Okay, so I have 10 things that I want to bring up. It's a list of 10 takeaways that I learned. And of course, we're trying not to overreact. Everybody, week one is just 1 week. We don't know what's going to happen in week two. You have players that looked really bad probably in week one that you're freaking out and you're asking me to take out of your lineup for week two. Listen, you start your starters and you trust your draft
right
come week two. Okay?
You didn't draft all those guys to change your entire team after week one.
Correct. Right. That's just the amateur hour move. And so we're not going to do that. But what have we learned? Because you do learn things. You have eyes. You watch the games. And we've learned things. So here's what I got. One, my God, the Giants defense looked bad. That is a defense that had no pass rushers, zero. These guys all are nose tackles on the defensive line, and that means they're not getting to the quarterback. So that means the quarterback has a ton of time, like Dak Prescott did, to just carve up a very rough secondary for the Giants. So the first thing we look at is, okay, who are playing the Giants? Because we might want to really consider starting a lot of the guys that are going against them. That's week one. You know, again, we'll see how they look week two. But so far, they look like they could be the dog of the defenses. And that goes for the same for the Dolphins. Your Dolphins.
Ugh.
They made Lamar Jackson look like Joe Montana.
Right.
What? No, he is not Joe Montana. No. He was throwing balls into the air. And
flick of the wrist, 60 yarders downfield.
And he did look great.
Right.
I'm going to give him the credit, and we did recommend him last week. But overall, I'm thinking more, though, the Dolphins looked really terrible. And that's something, again, to look at. God knows who they're playing this week.
Oh, yeah, I know. The New England Patriots are coming into
start
town.
Start them all.
Right.
Third one, as I was blown away by how bad the Seattle secondary looked. The Legion of Boom is no mas.
No more.
Oh, when Andy Dalton is throwing for 418 yards against you, you got to look in the mirror. So for the three teams that I look at, I'm like, okay, you always want to identify the defenses that are really bad. Okay, that's what I do. And those are the three right now, after week one, without overreacting, that we're just going to monitor because it looked real bad. Again, I mean, Seattle secondary giving up 418 yards.
That's not like Seattle, right?
Andy Dalton.
Right, to the rifle.
What? Not good. Okay. What else have we learned? Individual players. Josh Jacobs is for real.
Good running back, right?
No. He could be a great running back because he's in the right system. Gruden's the old school type of coach. He's going to pound that kid into the ground. That's why they drafted him in the first round. He looked really strong. I mean, really strong. And apparently no other person had an opening rookie game like him until LaDainian Tomlinson in 1998.
Yeah, it's pretty good company to be with.
Wow.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So that's a pretty good company.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Josh Jacobs, we learned, is if you picked him, oh, you're loving him. That guy's a permanent staple into your lineup. Well, we were talking about injuries. Tyreek Hill going down.
It's a tough one. I mean, that was the biggest one of the week, right? Like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
It's
got to be Tyreek.
And it's the worst when you have – he was the number one wide receiver last year, and a player that I own in many leagues. I recommended in many leagues, and now all of a sudden he's out for – they say a few weeks. I expect it to be at least 4 to 6 weeks.
I think I saw 4 to 6 this morning, and I think that it's not as terrible as they thought, but it's still a 4 to 6 week thing no matter what.
Which means Sammy Watkins is back. I mean, if you remember back in Clemson in those first few years before he had that injury bugs, there was nobody faster, sharper, and stronger. I saw him in the Orange Bowl live. He is a pure star when healthy. And he hasn't been healthy in years. But did you see him break away from secondaries?
Yeah.
He
was really good.
That's catch, turn, go, and burning everybody. So people were drafting Sammy Watkins late. Now that he's playing as the number one wide receiver right now with Tyreek out, this is a very nice player to have on your team and a player you should be starting. So
yeah, sure.
Sammy Watkins gets a nice plus.
God, that week one killed me, bro. God, Sammy Watkins week one.
Wow.
Wow.
It was a big wow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little later because that was a big miss here. As I've been talking to you, welcome to the league, TJ Hockenson and Darren Waller. Those were two guys that I was highly coveted, saying if you didn't draft those top 3.5 tight ends that I've been saying over and over again, and now we're going to call it top 4 after Evan Ingram's half of now is top.
Sure.
Right, and I'm a big fan of Ingram, but let me tell you, if you missed out on those four guys, to hold out and get Hockenson or Waller, and please, if you're able to listen to this and you could still get a Waller or a Hockenson off of your free agent list, grab those guys. Those are the tight ends of the future, and they are here now. Next. Tom Brady?
Good player.
Got better.
Right.
People drafting him like his
late. Really late.
Beyond late.
Yeah.
He was like the 19th to 21st quarterback taken off the board. Now, we obviously everyone's talking to Antonio Brown. We have to see what goes on there. But if Antonio Brown's going to be playing on that offense, it's going to be absolutely lethal. Tom Brady is all of a sudden turning into a possibility of being a top five quarterback again. Just like that, you know, I don't care how old he is. So
disclaimer, when we tape this pod, Antonio Brown has not been suspended or anything yet. If something does happen before Sunday, that doesn't mean Tom Brady's still off your list. But that's a disclaimer I'll throw here in the middle of taping of this damn podcast.
Professional radio guy.
Well, maybe.
You just know what you're doing. Okay, well, this is the year where I've been doing this since like 1995. And I have always said, do not take a quarterback ever in the first round. Do not do it. You can't build the right team around it because you have to have like the perfect draft afterwards with no injuries to make it work. I'm still there. But oh my God, Pat Mahomes!
You gotta be close to saying he's.
It's gonna be a theme to our podcast. Right. We're gonna be doing this for many weeks right now, and a part of this theme to this podcast is, wow, Pat Mahomes,
he's really good.
Oh my God,
he's not a 1 year wonder. This guy,
right? We know how good he is, but he might be by the end of the year justifiable to say, okay, he is this good and putting up this many more fantasy points than the next quarterbacks. That the difference in points might be worth it if you have some sneaky running backs and wide receivers down the road. I just want to point out how good Pat Mahomes is. And if you were able to get him in the third or fourth round, because there were many drafts where people do not take quarterbacks, you may have hit a huge home run here. Okay, Dak Prescott in that Kellen Moore offense. We're not going to get overexcited about it, but the Giants' defense was so bad last week. So, again, we're going to...
They're stinky, yes.
But... it looked creative. Amari Cooper looked amazing. And this Gallup kid is on the rise. So all of a sudden, the weapons, with Zeke Elliott being back, the weapons for that Dallas offense looks amazing. And I love their offensive coordinator there. So let's keep an eye on that. And last but not least, Dalvin Cook.
Oh, it's been your romantic fantasy football guy for a couple of years now.
You see, I'm thrilled that you were able to say that.
Because you said at the end of last year, too, or middle of last year, too, you know, with injury happening, that this is a guy.
Trade for him.
He's going to have a good end to the season, and he did.
He did.
And then, boom, it's like last season never ended for him. He just kept going.
Here's my comp for him. He reminds me of Edgerrin James.
Wow.
Which, for me, is like the greatest compliment one could give. He will run through you. He will run around you. He could catch the ball out of the backfield, and he is just straight. Oh, I don't know what the right word is. He is just nasty. So if you got Dalvin Cook in your second round pick right now with whoever you took in the first, like, God, if you had like a Hopkins Dalvin Cook 1-2, because that's sort of the places that they were going. Oh,
you're happy now.
You're off to a good start, man.
Right.
Oh, my God. Now. So those are my 10 takeaways from the
week. I like that. I'm going to hold you to it and have you do this every week with 10 takeaways from the week that just passed, good or bad, whatever it was, some things you liked, some things you don't, more work for you to do each week. We're now holding you to that here in the podcast. All right, so we usually get to the nose pick of the week or whatever it is, but we're going to go through the nosebleeds and the nose candy from the week that was. A couple of the things you gave us that were great, a couple of things you gave us that were bad. No one bats 1,000.
No.
In fantasy football, if you are on the upside of 500, you are doing good. It's like when you're gambling. You win 51% of your games, you're going to win money. It's the same thing here in fantasy football.
This is poker.
Right.
There is a major skill set to it.
Right.
But sometimes you just miss.
That's exactly it. So give me some nose candy from last week.
Okay. I had actually a really good week besides my two major nosebleeds, which we're going to have to just suck it up in
we'll
a little
get
bit.
Get to
I've
it.
Been dreading it all
right.
week. Okay. So... I said to start Lamar Jackson. I said he was going to have a monster game. Well, is 325 yards and 5 touchdowns good enough for you?
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, Nelly. Oh, man, this is another thing. Like, Brady went super late. I can't believe where Drew Brees was going. He's like a backup for some people's leagues. That's how far back he went. I said to start him. Yeah, 370 yards and 2 touchdowns later.
Not bad.
Hey, I'm Drew Brees. You got Michael Thomas. He's fine, by the way. That's
right.
When that guy retires, that's when you don't draft him. Okay.
Exactly,
same with Brady. Okay.
Yep.
Major nose crush was Chris Carson. I've been telling you to draft him. 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. Great week for him. He's just going to be a horse there. He's their guy. Rashad Penny's a good backup, but he's a backup right now because Carson's a stud. So if you got him, rock and roll. I said to start Day-Day Westbrook and Will Fuller, and they both were really good. Day-Day Westbrook found the end zone. Will Fuller caught a few bombs. I expect more out of him, but those were pretty good calls. As much as I said that I loved Aaron Jones and he is the nose pick of the year, I said to basically be very cautious about him and or if you could afford it, bench him against that
right.
Bears defense on Thursday
you're
night
right. You're
because
right.
that Bears defense is absolutely insanely good against the rush. So as much as I love Aaron Jones, and I do, and he's going to have an amazing year for you, it was a pretty decent call and me covering my butt for saying to sit him. I said to start zero Finns running backs.
God, do they stink.
Just don't do it.
Last week, is offensive line is so bad.
I can't imagine.
They're going to have to start 8 offensive linemen for you to get a run game.
It's awful.
I know.
It's awful.
Bad.
I said don't. I didn't love Cam Newton, and I don't love
he
him.
He doesn't look the same.
He's not the
can't
same.
Can't throw the ball downfield.
Yeah,
right.
And you can't run.
Yeah.
And where he's really slow on the run right now. Thank God he's got McCaffrey, because McCaffrey's the
stud of studs.
The stud of studs.
Right.
Him and Kamara and Barkley are on another level. And Zeke is there, too, don't get me wrong. But, oh, my God. So he might be able to dump a ball off to McCaffrey, and he could take it 80 yards, and Cam will get those points. But I just don't like how he's throwing the ball. I don't like his game right now. I also hate his attitude. That's a different story. So I said not to start him. And those were the nose candies. A bit of, and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, you had a good
of
list of nose candy. Of course, with nose candy comes the nosebleeds. We'll get to a couple of those right now. But the nose candy was really, it was good this week. It was, if you had a bunch of those picks that you had this week, including set guys not to start or not to play with the Aaron Jones stuff and the Finns running backs, you probably had a good week. All right, let's get to the part where we kind of embarrass nose a little bit here. The nosebleeds. Give me a couple of those nosebleeds.
I had two. I had only two really significant nosebleeds. Overall, I had a pretty good week, but I'm just going to crush myself. I said don't trust Sammy Watkins because I just didn't know what he was going to do because you didn't know what kind of role he would have. They drafted a wide receiver in the very first the very first few picks in the second round. Tyreek Hill's their number one option. They got Todd, Kelsey.
Kelsey, right. Yeah.
So what happens? Hill goes down in the first quarter, and then it's just the Sammy Watkins show. So, if you listen to me on that one, oops.
Yeah, that's a bad nose, but I'm still wiping your face from that one.
I'm literally, no good. And even worse than that, I gave you a nose pick of the week fail.
That's right.
I did. Kerryon Johnson only had 62 yards total. Complete fail. I really expected him to be the focal point of that offense. He really wasn't. They were throwing the ball. Stafford looked amazing, and he was not really a part of that. 62 yards for a nose pick of the year, awful. And I'm really disappointed in his performance, but it happens, and we will get back on top this week.
Right, that's it. The nosebleeds are always bad. The nose pick of the week, when that bleeds, it's a bad one. But when you have a list like you did of nose candy, it kind of evens out a little bit. If you picked a couple of the nose candies and one or both of the nosebleeds, you probably ended up winning your week or coming close to it.
You're so sweet for making me feel better. Right
no,
now,
I am. Otherwise, there's people listening right now that are like, shame. Exactly.
Right.
No shame at that point.
I feel like Cersei's walking down the town just getting freaking egged by everything. Eggs, cabbage. It was a bad one. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
I'll be honest with you. I'm happy that you're not, because she was naked in that, and that means you'd be walking around here naked, scaring the hell out of everyone here in the building, in the prod room that we get to do this out of with the boxes everywhere, and we have to kind of work afterwards to clean up the space. Okay, so that brings us to, you want to do the nose pick of the week here? Okay, so then we're going to get on to what quarterbacks, what running backs, what wide receivers pass the sniff
test. Been a while for us.
I know it has. We're still getting used to it. Still kind of preseason for us as well. All right, so let's get to a couple quarterbacks that pass the sniff test.
All right, let's do this thing, okay? So one of my big plays this week and we're doing a lot of DFS plays.
Sure,
so
of course.
Please tweet at me anything you want to know. I'm on DraftKings. I'm on FanDuel. I pay attention. I play it. And I like to say I'm pretty good at it, too. But that being said, Josh Allen this week is my DFS cheaper quarterback play. If you want to spend your money on the running backs, wide receivers, or in your year-long leagues, if you have Josh Allen on your bench, I really highly consider starting him this week, because he is going, of course, against that Giants defense.
New York Giants.
And here we go. So this is what we start to do. We look at the players that are going against these teams, and I mean, Josh Allen looks like a guy who can run for 60 yards this week on top of throwing for 300 yards. He's a good play. He's Let me tell you something. This Bills team's a little tricky because their defense is so good.
Yeah, the defense very good there.
That means that they're going to get the ball, and they're going to get the ball in good field position as well. So I'm a big fan of Josh Allen this week. I expect him to have 25-plus fantasy points. So that's a,
wow, yeah, that's a nice week.
So, yeah, you got to consider starting him if he's on your bench.
All right, give me a couple more quarterbacks that pass the sniff test.
Don't overreact week one. Is that that's what you say? Don't overreact about Big Ben's loss, okay? Big Ben looked really bad against
the whole team did.
They did. They did. I'm not going to overreact because they're going against Seattle. Again, we discussed that. So this is a week for him to come back. This is classic Big Ben. I'm expecting everybody to have a good game on that offense, okay? That's going to be a Big Ben show of 300-plus yards. He's going to have himself a few touchdowns. So, yes, it's so easy after week one. Oh, my God, Big Ben was terrible. No, we're not overreacting. If he's your starter, you're starting him week two.
Just think about who crushed that Seattle defense last week, Andy Dalton, and that Big Ben is an upgrade over that with good players on the team too.
I mean, AJ Green is not even out there. We saw this guy Ross, who's the rookie. He's
solid.
Right, Washington,
yeah, solid player,
very solid. But we hadn't seen that yet. And then they have Boyd, but no, their weapons are not like they did it with average weapons in my opinion. And Dalton, God, he's unstartable.
Ben's got Double Jew. He's got James Conner. He's got a good team. Even Vance McDonald on that team at tight end. So, yeah, you're right.
So get him in there. And then same exact concept. You have a Matt Ryan. A lot of people drafted him early because some people, sometimes they're in that draft room and they're like, I have to get a quarterback, even though I told you to wait, but they took him and they were not happy with the week one's performance. He had a dirty touchdown, beautiful throw to Calvin Ridley late in that game, but overall, very underwhelming performance. That's going to change. He's going to have a very nice game against the Eagles, Sunday Night Football at home in the Dome. That's where he's going to do it. So Matty Ice is very safe to start this week. Don't overreact.
All right, those are your three quarterbacks that passed the sniff test: Josh Allen, Big Ben, and Matt Ryan. Let's get on to the next position, the running back position. Give me a couple running backs that passed the sniff test.
We all saw Derrick Henry last week, right?
Solid.
Beyond solid.
Yes, he was good.
He was really good. And all of a sudden, I started thinking to myself, you know what? Did people draft him too late, including myself, because of that injury that going into the season, he's got the injuries in the legs? Yeah. Well, guess what? Do we remember what he did last year?
He had a couple great games.
Had a record-setting month, okay? He was that good. And everybody just, sort of like said, okay, he's still around the 12th to 15th best running back, maybe 15th to 17th best running back going into this draft. You all were wrong. The Tennessee Titans are a team that is built around an amazing defense. They're going to end up being a top five defense this year. And what do? They're going to pound the ball because they can't really throw the ball that well with Mariota. I like A.J. Brown, by the way. They're the wide receiver there.
Right, right.
But overall, this is going to be a ground and pound team. He's going to get volume in a big way. And I love him this week. I love him every week. So if you, the guy that I just want to make sure that you got to steal in Derrick Henry. I wanted to bring that up. He's going to have a monster game, and he's just a guy that you cannot take out of your lineup right now because he was drafted in the flex range right now.
Right,
now,
right.
He's like an RB1 or 2, and that's what I'm saying.
RB2 on my team, that's for sure. All right, give me a couple more running backs that pass the sniff test.
So one of the biggest disappointments of week one, where we're not going to overreact again, Sony Michel. What a disappointment. You got yourself a lot of James White back there, and you got Burkhead now who's playing back there. I don't care. You are not going to overreact, and you're going to start on week two against your Miami Dolphins.
Ooh, that defense. I think I'd run for 80 yards on that defense.
This is the time where they're going to get – I'm expecting them to go up big, and then they're going to pound the ball with him. And unlike last week, he's going to find holes. And he's coming home. I can't believe I'm singing. He's coming home. What is he? American Heritage's
right,
finest?
Sonny Michel, American Heritage.
Okay,
yes.
So he's coming home. And he's probably going to have a whole lot of family out there, and he's got a little bit to prove because he was terrible last week.
Yes, he was.
But I still am saying don't overreact and keep Sony Michel in your lineup.
All right, give me one more running back that passes the sniff test.
I'm going to try to redeem myself.
Oh, boy.
Kerryon Johnson's going to do it. I went from nose pick fail to saying he's going to be doing it again. He's going against the Chargers rush defense, which I believe is very subpar. They have a good Joey Bosa, but he's not a great against the run. He's going to try to tackle the quarterback. Kerryon Johnson, I'm going back to the well with you. Do not take him out of your lineup. I know you might be tempted to because of a bad game week one. He will be just fine this week. Start him.
Kerryon Johnson, Derrick Henry, Sony Michel, running backs that pass the sniff test. All right, let's get to wide receivers. Give me a couple wide receivers this week for you that pass the sniff test.
Oh, Josh Allen to John Brown. So John Brown, this is a guy who got 10 targets, and that's what we're looking at a lot right now. You look at targets because some people could have some big plays, but if you're getting very few targets, it's just less opportunity to be good. John Brown is right now Josh Allen's guy. And I really think that he's a must-start this week. I would start him with confidence. He's going against the Giants, as we discussed. So I'm all in on the Bills' offense this week. All in. John Brown, give him a start.
All right, give me a couple more that pass the sniff test.
So going off of that Big Ben, you were saying that you expect the double Jew to have a big game.
Right,
Juju,
right.
He's going to. But the guy who I am telling you is going to step up on this team is James, a.k.a. Jimmy the Washington. Jimmy Washington. He's a star, dude. I know. He is like going to be my next Juju, okay? So when they had Antonio Brown and Juju there, now Juju's going into the Antonio Brown role, and it's not going to be Dante Moncrief. I am not impressed about that guy. So there we go. We'll say that. James Washington is a player that if you have him on your bench and someone like Tyreek Hill got hurt and you need to fill a spot, I'm giving you the green light. I really expect him to have that breakthrough big catch, 50-plus yard touchdown. It's going to be beautiful.
You have any other wide receivers this week that pass the sniff test?
I see you laughing because, remember, I write these on Monday and Tuesday night, and it's sometimes a little early, but we do our podcasts on Wednesday.
Sure,
sometimes
sure.
Do it on Thursday.
Yeah.
So guess who I put down? I put down Antonio Brown.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's an obvious one to me if he is okay playing and doesn't have legal issues, but that might stand in the way of him playing on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins.
It's super interesting, and it's a thing that I know that everyone's going to be asking, do I start Antonio Brown or not? And right now, as it stands, we don't know at this exact moment because there is so much out there, and you know how these stories creep up and creep
up. Of course.
And we're in a Me Too movement, and this is a very serious situation and a serious, you know, it's just a serious...
The allegations and the accusations around Antonio Brown are very serious, even though a lot of people have their opinions on it, saying it's a money grabber, this and that. It's still a legal matter with lawyers putting out statements, and the New England Patriots have to put an official statement on their website and on Twitter about it, and you never know what's going to happen. Without that even out there, take all that out, everything is cleared, it's still Bill Belichick trying to get Antonio Brown into the system, which also means that could be an extra week of sitting around and waiting. The difference is, if he plays and he comes home to Miami, where he's a proud Viking of Miami Norland, then this is going to be an interesting situation where he's going to want to blow up. But it all depends on if he is able to play and if Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots play him. There is a possibility we post this podcast tomorrow morning, tonight, in an hour, it doesn't matter, and all of a sudden he gets put on the commissioner exempt list, which means he's totally screwed for a couple weeks until this whole process goes. But I do like it. If he plays, I'm fully on board with start that dude. He passed the sniff test.
Absolutely. So here's what we're going to do on this. Again, when you listen to this, it could be on a Saturday, and this could be old news. Got Antonio Brown every day has a new
something
storyline.
Right. The saga.
It's unbelievable.
Wu-Tang, the saga continues.
Nice. But what we're going to do here is we're going to follow it. And the bottom line is this. If he practices and he shows up and he conforms, and they say that he's a full go, you start him. But that's it.
Right.
That's it. We don't know how it's going to be. But if what I just said happens, where it's just straight up business as usual right now, that he got his practices in, he got his reps in, he understands the playbook, then just again, he's coming home, and you said it. Nobody really is more proud of Miami than he is. He says it flat out. He is who he is. He doesn't conform. He is from, where is he from? Oh, man, he's from Liberty. Where's
Liberty City. Yeah. Okay, yes.
Yeah, that guy is,
right.
That's legit Miami.
No. He is as Miami as it gets. The storyline around him is the tough upbringing, Miami, New Orleans.
Right.
Small school, drafted.
He's going to want to blow up.
Right.
At home.
If there is a game this year that he's going to want to have a big game, it would have been probably last week where New England played Pittsburgh and he'd want to, you know, shit all over them to say that. But then it's this week where he's coming home to Miami and playing in front of his family and a lot of people that know him. Probably has to buy 50 or 60 tickets.
Yeah, he comes down here. He works out here. He trains here. He allegedly rapes here. Yes, right. All right. Well, F you, Hartner. Keep going. Next one.
All right. Now, we got through the wide receivers that passed the sniff test, James Washington, John Brown, and the possibility of Antonio Brown being on that list also. With all the passing of the sniff test, we also have to have guys that fail the sniff test. We'll start with the quarterback position. Give me a couple quarterbacks that fail the sniff test.
The number one player that people are like, oh my God, is Kyler Murray worth a start? You know, is he now really good? What a great first game by Kyler Murray. And I guess what I'm saying to you is at home, it's a lot easier for your first NFL game to have a very nice game. David Johnson looks great, by the way. So things are clicking.
Thank goodness.
Things are clicking there. But he's going into Baltimore.
Ugh.
Right. So this is the week where we're going to really find out what kind of, you know, chips we have in terms of Kyler Murray. Is he going to be the man or not? Well, if he goes into Baltimore and he blows up, let me tell you something. You may have had something with him if you picked him as your second quarterback. So Kyler Murray, though, is a guy this week I'm still holding on my bench. One more week. Going into Baltimore, brutal.
That's a rough one. Yeah, that's a rough one. All right, give me a couple more quarterbacks that fail the sniff test.
So believe it or not, Eli Manning had what would look to be a respectable first game, just completely keying in on Evan Ingram. A lot of people hating on the Giants in terms of, you know, get Manning out of there, Daniel Jones this, Daniel Jones that. He was totally good, but he won't be this week. Going against the Buffalo Bills, they have the number one, you know, in my opinion, they have the number one defense in the NFL. That's what I'm throwing out there. I do believe in this defense. And as the...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Weather gets colder. It gets harder to play there.
Correct.
But anyway, Eli Manning, it's a no-brainer. Don't start him. And also, Jimmy Garoppolo, no good. I mean, he has to throw the ball to, you know, Kittle 30 times for him to be good.
It's good for Kittle owners. Yeah.
Great for Kittle owners, but he has no wide receivers. They had their starting wide receiver being their number one, being Dante Pettis, who I believe played for like two snaps or something ridiculous week one. He has no weapons. Marquise Goodwin's nowhere to be found. I mean, seriously. So Jimmy Garoppolo, all he could do is throw to a tight end, and defenses are going to say, okay, I'm going to key in on this.
Right.
And I'm going to make
sure. Linebacker with some safety help, and you get Kittle right out of the game.
And then all of a sudden, Garoppolo is a very,
back
very.
Back to the 0.0 rating.
Thank
in
you. Shaky. Yeah, shaky. It. Don't start him.
All right. Eli Manning, Kyler Murray, and Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterbacks that fail the sniff test. Let's go to the next position. Running backs that fail the sniff test.
So one of the most popular plays on the waiver wires is Adrian Peterson.
Sure, of
course. Because Darius Geis is very questionable to be playing this upcoming week, which means AP is going to get the start. But they still have Thompson back there. And I just don't believe that you should be starting AP, pick him up and start him against the Dallas D, who I thought did a pretty decent job of containing Barkley. Now, again, he ripped off a few big runs, but that's the best running back in the game. Dallas is going to stuff the living hell out of AP this weekend. So don't be cute. Don't pick him up and start him. I know he's a starting running back, and
Trendy. It's trendy. It's,
exactly. I don't like the trend, though, okay? Next, we learned something in the Chargers game.
We sure did.
We learned that Austin Eckler is pretty damn good.
We learned that Melvin Gordon got some terrible advice.
We did, because all of a sudden, who needs Melvin Gordon there right now?
Why pay him $12 million a year when Eckler's making like 50 cents on the dollar right now?
Great call by you. Melvin Gordon got bad advice.
Bad advice.
Because he has to come back by week 10. So
right. So he gets the eligibility of the year so he can get back to being an unrestricted free agent when it all happens. And instead, they're literally laughing at him going, all right, you wanted 12, we'll give you 6.
Right.
And he doesn't want 6.
So as great as Eckler was, and he was, and this has nothing to do with him, but he was supposed to be a 50-50 split with Justin Jackson.
Right.
Who,
right,
by the way, looked pretty good. Pretty good. I don't like him this week because there is, you know, a new sheriff in town right now. That's Austin Eckler.
Right.
Oh, he got that kid.
He
looked great.
Really good. And for all the people that drafted late in your draft because you were either handcuffing Melvin Gordon or you were just worried about the fact that that other guy drafted Melvin Gordon, so let me just pick him up just in case Melvin sits out. You got a stud probably in rounds 10, 11, 12, 13, wherever it was, because no one wanted to touch that guy. You were smart.
He was the difference of winning and losing in so many millions of fantasy leagues.
Right.
This past week. Forget about it. If you had him in DFS, like, you won. I mean,
paid nothing for him, basically, and you got a quality number one starting running back for that money.
He was beautiful. So just keep an eye on that. I think he's going to be the guy there. And so people who have Justin Jackson on your bench, I would just keep him there for now.
Or get rid of him.
It's pretty close
it's
to
getting
that.
Close to
I'd
that.
Like for you not to. I'd like okay. for you to get, give me
listen one, to the nose. Don't listen to me.
Give him one more week.
Okay.
I respect that, but give him one more week.
Anyone else, any running backs that give me one more if you can.
Yeah, everyone got a little excited about Miles Sanders for the Eagles, who I thought looked good, but I can't believe it. How old is Darren Sproles?
111.
I know,
it's crazy.
And he's still out there a lot. And then you have Howard still there who looks pretty good.
Right, you almost forgot about that, right?
We have ourselves a very real, very true running back by committee situation for the Eagles. And until somebody gets hurt there, so somebody has to rise to become the guy, I don't like any of them at all because you just don't know. I like Sanders the most because he seems to have a lot of talent and he could break something. But, man, every time I was looking, I see number 43. I mean, what is going on?
Didn't that dude break his neck or something like that? Like something crazy? Like broke his back.
God
it was spinal.
Him.
And
God bless
back.
Him because that's a running back that keeps going. I mean, he just keeps going.
He's
so,
got to be close to 110.
I don't like any of the Eagles running backs.
All right, so next position we got to get to, wide receivers that fail the sniff test.
The best cornerback in football that people don't really know yet is Tre'Davious White of the Buffalo Bills
yeah.
who will be locking down Sterling Shepard. He is their wide receiver one there. You would not be this Sterling Shepard's going to have a bad game. Okay, so that's just do not put him in your lineup. Do not pass go. Do not do it. Oh, Larry Fitzgerald.
Fitzy.
I can't believe I'm doing this. This is a big jig. Because
no.
How good is he?
He's one of the best there was.
Everybody's like, I'm not going to draft the old man. I'm not going to be the guy who drafts Larry Fitzgerald. Because everybody likes to now trend in the direction of not being the guy who drafts the old man. Dude, that guy's special. That is first ballot Hall of Fame special. And he had a wonderful week one. Against the Ravens, though, we're going to probably say because Kyler Murray is going into that hardcore of an environment, and that is a tough place to play, I don't love Larry Fitzgerald this week. So a lot of people are going to be putting him in their lineups. I don't think they're going to get the production they want from it.
All right, so give me one more wide receiver that fails the sniff test.
Oh, I hated him all year. I'm not tooting my horn, but this Jarvis Landry situation is bad. How talented is he?
He's good. I mean, it's crazy, too, because this week they're up on, was it, Monday Night Football against the Jets. He hates Adam Gase. Adam Gase hates him. It's kind of on record, but off the record between
those
two. I didn't
know that.
There's and I have just a feeling, because when I saw him on your, you know, fail the sniff test list, I don't know where to go on this one because someone is going to budge from this. Either Jarvis is going to have a monster day because Baker wants to get him the ball, or Adam Gase is going to make it a point to shut down Jarvis Landry, let anyone else do what they can, stop him when we can. Something is going to budge. Either this is going to be an amazing pick by you, or this is going to be a nosebleed to the fullest extent by next week.
Wow. Interesting information. And I also, because you won't say it, I happen to know you have like a personal relationship with Adam Gase.
I do.
I know, which is so.
This is going to get personal this week.
Okay.
Jarvis hates Adam. Adam does. I'm not. I don't know this on record or not. Adam probably doesn't like Jarvis Landry. It was nasty when it was down here. Something is going to budge from this. So I don't know. This is a 50-50 one for me on this list for you because I don't know if Jarvis is going to be fed the ball by Baker because emotions are going to get into it, or if Adam Gase is going to put his middle finger up on the sideline and say, get the ball to whoever else you can because Jarvis ain't touching it.
It is my belief that this will not get personal. The only thing that's real personal is that Cleveland comes out thinking that they're the shit.
Of course.
And they got rolled by the Titans defense. I mean, roll.
Tennessee really made a statement last week in week one of the NFL season.
So all of a sudden, this Cleveland hype train, look, and we're not overreacting here, but what I'm saying to you is, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm getting number, what's this? I don't even know his number anymore.
I don't even know
number 13.
Number is,
I'm getting number 13, Odell Beckham, the ball. Okay. Jarvis Landry is going to be possibly a second thought, an afterthought on this team. Did you see they were throwing the ball to Higgins all over?
Right.
So,
and Callaway's suspended. He's not even out there.
Landry, the guy's got one of the best hands in the game. He's an amazing route runner. He's an emotional good player. I just need to see it first, and I did not see it at all. He's not getting the targets, so I'm still benching him. I do not trust him. You could go with your personal angle, and I sort of like it because you have some inside information on it.
It's a personal thing, I think, for both guys.
Yeah, Landry might go up to Baker and say, I need the ball.
I want the ball 40 times. The difference is that I think Adam on the other side is going to tell his guys, whoever's out there covering, you know, wide receiver one or wide receiver two or safety help, you just make sure you bump him on the line and he doesn't touch the ball, and that's it.
That would be one of the stupidest things that Gase can
do.
Shut down Landry.
Right.
No, that's not going to happen.
I don't know
in my
where
opinion,
the emotions are going to fly.
We'll see, though, because we've learned something about Gase. I think he's a little kooky.
Right, he's kooky.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I
love him, but he's kooky.
Yeah, and he completely choked last week. Oh, that was some horrible coaching.
Yeah, there's a couple text messages after the game from that guy. He wasn't very happy. All right, so those are the three wide receivers that fail the sniff test. It's Sterling Shepard, it's Larry Fitzgerald, and Jarvis Juice Landry. Okay, so that brings us to one of my favorite parts of the podcast here. It's the Noe's pick of the week. Noe's going to give you a guy that he loves this week, and sometimes it's a nosebleed, and sometimes it's nose candy. Sometimes it's in between there. But this week, week two, NFL season and fantasy football, the Noe's pick of the week is?
I got to get this one out before it just becomes super obvious, because another man crush for me. Since he came into the league, I am the biggest Allen Robinson fan. And when he went down, if you remember when we were doing this, when he was in Jacksonville, I had him like going like 19th or 20th overall, in a wide receiver one slot with Jacksonville. And God knows who their quarterback was at the time. Yeah, his name is Blake Bortles. Allen Robinson is a superstar. I'm saying this. I'm making it clear. I think if you have eyes and could watch an NFL game, and if you could watch this guy, he's a star. And I know it now it's depending on Mitchell Trubisky getting him the ball. But if I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm throwing the ball to him 15 times a game, because this guy will catch anything and everything, and he could use his body to get his feet in. You know, if it's tight on the sidelines, I'm mega impressed with Allen Robinson. So I'm just going out there and saying, obviously, he's a must start. OK, but if you have Allen Robinson, I'm telling you, I think you got yourself back to a wide receiver one, wide receiver two type of play. And I know you got him late.
Right.
You got him late. And we were recommending him on our draft pod.
I went
hard on him. And I think he's just going to have a really, really good game against the Broncos. If you watch that game on Monday night late, Tyrell Williams, who is a good player, don't get me wrong, was getting behind that defense, and he had a really nice game. I expect a really big game out of Allen Robinson. And again, I'm sort of doing this in week two, because by week eight, I have a feeling it's going to be like, you can't, you know, I'm not here recommending, you know, oh, go, you know, start, you know, Odell Beckham or something. That's just not, it's not.
Well, listen, hopefully by the end of the season, Allen Robinson will be in that same category where it's the obvious, come on, Noe's. So, what do you mean Beckham? What do you mean Julio Jones this week?
I'm jumping in real early because he just looks great. I expect Trubisky to have a better game. I expect that offense to look better. It looked miserable, but in a miserable outing by that Bears offense, one man shined, in my opinion, and that was Allen Robinson saying, hey, guys, remember me? Everything about him, just I look at him and I see star. So the Noe's pick of the week is Allen Robinson having just another wide receiver one type of game. DFS, all leagues, stardom. Please don't fail me, because I cannot have another nosebleed, okay? So Allen Robinson, don't fail me.
All right, Allen Robinson, the Noe's pick of the week for week two, and that'll do it for Volume 33, Zach
Larry
and the
Bird
Noe's Podcast, the Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar running back for the Dolphins edition of our podcast. Good luck to everyone out there. Make sure if you didn't hear what you wanted to hear on the podcast and you have other questions, on Twitter, at Spencer Noe's, N-O-S-E, hit him up. He's always on Twitter. He'll help you out any way he can. Lots of tweets I saw last week getting to you, asking you for certain questions. And if it's on Sunday morning early, I'm sure he could help too. DFS questions as well. whatever the case may be, the nose will help. Nose, as always, thank you, my partner in crime.
Awesome. We're here. I mean, now it's just, it was such a buildup to the season.
And we're here now.
And now we're here.
Right.
So this is it. It's like, boom, Thursday night football. Oh, it's just right, you know.
Coming up right in your face.
Right.
Right in your face.
And then it just, oh, you know, it's beautiful. 3 days out of the week, we have NFL football and then obviously college. Life
we're in football
is
season.
Good.
Life is good for us, bad for our wives at this point. There it is. So that's volume 33. We'll talk to you again next week. Make sure to tell your friends, your family, your enemies, everyone about the podcast. Download it at WQAM.com, iTunes, Google Play, wherever else our podcasts are being. Anywhere in Asia, I don't know where it's getting played, but you can hear it at that point. Thank you again for listening. We'll talk to you again next week for week 3 of the NFL season.
It's Sack and the News.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.